Donald Talks Tech, episode number 30. Crashing the Super Bowl with Ryan Thomas Anderson. Donald.
It's Donald Talks Tech with James DeRuvo.
Never touch another man's butt.
Online at DonaldNews.com.
Crashing the Super Bowl is the topic of this week's Donald Talks Technology, and with me is the winner of the 2014 Doritos Crash the Super Bowl sweepstakes. Ryan Thomas Anderson is a commercial director who had to put his filmmaking career on hold when he had his six-year-old son, Gavin. But then his son had a great idea for a TV commercial, and the Doritos Crash the Super Bowl sweepstakes came calling, and that's how Time Machine was born. Now he's striving towards becoming a professional filmmaker, and with the $1 million cash prize and a credit working on Avengers Age of Ultron with Joss Whedon, Ryan Thomas Anderson is well on his way. Ryan, thank you for joining us on Donald Talks Technology.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So what made you want to become a filmmaker?
I actually went to school for architecture right out of high school, and after about a semester, I decided I hated it. And I started renting a bunch of movies from Blockbuster when I had one of those passes where you could rent three movies at a time. And I started just watching a bunch of movies, and I had always watched movies as a younger kid with my parents, and they always took me to the theater. And I saw the movie Requiem for a Dream, and once I saw that, I thought I wanted to make people feel the way that that movie made me feel, and I kind of saw the power in it and wanted to make films.
And so you basically worked your way to become a commercial film director in the Arizona area.
Yeah. I started out doing wedding photography and videography.
As most of us do.
Yeah, exactly. To make the bills and make ends meet, and I got pretty good at it and made some pretty good money, and then it just became unfulfilling, and it became another job that I couldn't do anymore. And I tried my hand at the Doritos contest a few years ago, like 3 or 4 years ago. And I just started doing it, and they weren't terrible; they were decent. But I started doing other commercials too, and started entering other contests, and started winning those, and kind of honed my skills and got better as a commercial director. And always did short film challenges and local 48-hour film challenges in Arizona, and I would always place top three or better. So, I've always wanted to make films, but I've always done things that allow me to use my talent, I guess.
And so then the Doritos Crash the Super Bowl contest came along, and I believe I read somewhere that it was your six-year-old son, Gavin, who came up with the idea for Time Machine.
Well, yeah, he definitely inspired it. I watched a lot of movies with him. We were watching Back to the Future. And he asked if I could make him a time machine out of the car. And I told him that we couldn't make it out of the car, but maybe we could make a different one. So I thought of getting a refrigerator box, because as a child, that's all I would play out of with my imagination.
Man, don't you miss these days?
I know.
I used to do the same thing.
And out of that, I got this great idea to create a commercial that revolved around a kid and his time machine. And then, Calvin and Hobbes kind of popped in my head, and that whole dynamic. And so I thought, why not get a boy and his dog and have them get up to some hijinks with a time machine?
And so you got the idea to do this in the Doritos Crash the Super Bowl sweepstakes. And so take me through the whole process of being that we are currently in the 2015 sweepstakes now. Filmmakers have until November 9th to submit their entry. Take me through your process of how long it took you to make it. What did you do to get it all together?
So I approached my partner who helped produce it. And we always get together every year, and we always have a hard time coming up with an idea. And I didn't want to do it this year, that year, just because, it takes a lot out of you, and you're basically just doing free work to advertise for Doritos. And I told him the idea, and it just, all I had to do was be scripted up, but everything was there. And he absolutely loved it. And immediately I thought of all the talent that I wanted. I said we could use my son. And, the guy that does Mr. Smith, David Wilkins, I knew him mutually through Facebook, and I thought he would be perfect for the kind of oaf, dumb neighbor. and made some phone calls, and we were pretty much working on pre-production that day, and everyone was on and are on board to do it. The hardest part, I think, was locating a refrigerator box. And we ended up finding one on the side of the road. This new apartment complex was being built. So they were stocking it with refrigerators, and they were putting all the boxes outside. And we asked if we could take some. We took like three of them and took them to my parents' house. Went to Home Depot, got some tan paint, painted all the box. We painted three boxes. We had two backups. And painted them all up. And then I did this all in the front yard for 2 days. Painted it, doctored it up with a magic marker, put Christmas lights in it, made it look like a kid built it. And, I had neighbors driving by asking what I was doing. And basically, I looked like the crazy guy in the neighborhood. And, I did some test shots with my son on the weekends whenever I'd go over to my parents, and was filming him with my new camera that I had just picked up, which was the Blackmagic Cinema camera. And it kind of was all history from there. I knew exactly how I wanted to shoot it. I had every shot in my head. And my actor drove from L.A. and arrived on the day that we shot. I think he left like the next morning. And then I spent about... Well, we took about 6 to 7 hours to shoot the entire thing. And then I retired to my computer for 90 plus hours to edit the spot. And that's kind of pretty much it. There's a lot of work that went into it after, for post, but everything kind of fell into place beginning.
Then you submitted it. And what happens after you actually submit it?
Nothing happens when you submit it. You sit patiently and wait. From the beginning, I knew that it was something special. And I was just, honestly, I was waiting for the phone call or the email or whatever it is that they were going to do. I knew that there was no way that they were going to pass this one up. And if they did, then something terrible happened. So they have their dates up online saying, we're going to release the top 20 semifinalists on this date. And they weren't released on that date. And I hadn't received a phone call, and I was kind of worried and thought, what's going on? But I still knew that, something just wasn't right. And I had a shoot one day, and after I left my phone in the car, and after my shoot, I went to my car and saw a missed phone call from like Texas. And it was Doritos saying that they wanted me to call them back. They didn't say what it was, but just that I needed to call them back. So I immediately freaked out, and I knew it was because I was a semifinalist, and called them, and they were super excited. And they told me, that they picked my spot. They loved it. They wanted me to be a semifinalist. And then that I wasn't allowed to say anything for, I think, 24 hours. And then the next morning is when they uploaded the semifinalists. And then from there, it was just kind of a panic, because I knew that there was another level, and that was the finalists. That was the top five. And so I basically was playing the waiting game for 2 weeks to see if I was going to be a finalist.
Because that's when the voting happened.
Correct. And even then, I kind of became crazy, and I overanalyzed, and I studied every single spot that was a semifinalist. And of course, I mean, I always enjoy what I do, but as an artist, I always think like, hey, it could have been better. And I'm not one of those artists who thinks that everything I do is gold. And this specific scenario, I judged everything in a very business oriented way, and I discredited a lot of the spots. And I tried to narrow down from a brand standpoint which five would be the top five. And the top five were the five that I picked, and I included myself in that because I knew that I hit all the points correctly.
Well, let's talk about that. What are the main points that you think make, being that you did produce a successful Dorito spot, what are those points?
There's quite a few things, and definitely everything kind of has to come together. But the formula that I've kind of found, and I think in past interviews, I've refused to talk about this, but it's really not. I mean, I could tell you the special ingredients all day long, but I think it comes down to the cook at the end of the day. But basically, you need that that magical element that isn't magical. You need that like overly ridiculous production aspect that never fully flushes out. So you've got this time machine idea, and it's a very, very ambitious idea, and you need it. It's kind of like taking an idea that makes no sense, but making the characters fully believe that it is true. And in doing that, you get your dumb characters. And because everyone else who's watching the commercial is going to go, why is this guy acting like this? This is clearly fake. But he played it so well. And that's what makes it enjoyable, when somebody believes the unbelievable. And on top of that, I had the cute kid. And again, just because you have a cute kid in your spot doesn't mean that you're going to win. It was just another ingredient. And
it doesn't hurt.
And he, of course, I mean, I hit the jackpot with having an adorable son. So he was obviously perfect for that role. And I had got the family, beautiful golden retriever dog. And I thought, okay, well, everyone loves a boy and his dog. And I didn't want to make it about the pet either, because everyone's done that in the past, and I wanted something fresh and unique.
Which would have, if you had, you were going up against a spot that had a kid riding his dog like a horse.
Right.
So that would have been, that really probably would have made it a harder sell.
Right. And that's the thing. Like I tried to make something. The other thing is, on the political standpoint, you have to make a spot that won't offend anyone. And unfortunately, in this social world of online media and media in general, it almost doesn't even matter anymore what you do. You're going to offend someone. I think I offended non-Caucasians all over the world. And it was like, why is there only white people in this commercial? So everyone's upset about something or another. But I tried to make the most neutral, just fun for all ages type of spot. And with that humor, I knew I would get the younger generation, because it's just silly, and everyone loves time travel. And I knew I'd get the older people, because I stuck in an older gentleman to yell at a kid for being on his yard. And I know older people can relate to being annoyed by younger people. And, there's definitely the recreational pot users who I knew would laugh at this guy's stupidity, because who else would think that other than possibly a guy that's stoned who has, a treat in his hand? I mean, we didn't say that, but I mean, that's kind of the general idea. And everyone, knows it when they watch the commercial. He's just an absolute idiot. And some just, that is truly a surprise. And my thing is, with most commercials, you know what's coming, and you can foresee how it's going to end and what the whole joke is going to be. And I always hate that, and it always upsets me. So I tried to flip the script and tell a story, because that's naturally what I like to do, is tell a story. So I thought, I've got 30 seconds to take people on a little ride. I'm a huge fan of making people believe one thing and then turning it on them. So when this guy goes in, clearly it's fake, and it's like, what's going on? But then, he comes out and he mistakes this old guy, and I'm sure there's someone out there who saw it coming, but because it happened so fast, I think most people are just like, what's going to happen next? Nobody thought that the old guy was going to be the future Jimmy. There's no way they saw that coming.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing is you got to have that surprise element. I based my formula off of one that won in 2008 or 9, called Free Doritos. And about the magic, it's like a snow globe, but he says it's a crystal ball. Mm-hmm. And have you seen that one or not?
Oh yeah, the one where he throws it through the snack machine.
Right. So basically, he took a fantastical idea that wasn't possible, and then he made it possible. So I took the same concept and I told the story of a time machine. He claims it's a time machine. Well, that time machine isn't real. It doesn't work. But lo and behold, it still worked to this guy. Like, it was believable to this guy that was in the box that he did time travel. And that's what makes things funny.
Right. So because it makes it believable to the character, it makes it believable to the audience.
Correct.
Yeah. And so, okay, so you become the semifinalist, and you wait for 2 weeks. Now, did they tell you that you won, or did you not find out until the live reveal on CBS?
Yeah, I didn't find out until the very end. I went up and down with my thoughts. It was, you know, okay, I've got this. Maybe I don't have this. Am I going to win? I don't know if I'm going to win. This one's pretty good too. And what if I didn't get enough votes? I mean, I knew it could have gone any way. And seeing my commercial air was exciting and it was emotional for me. But at the same time, it added on more stress because then it was like, okay, great. Did I win or didn't I win? So yeah, I only got about an hour of sleep the night before. So when they presented me with a check, I was very, I wasn't as excited as most people probably wished I was, because at that point I had been through the ringer and was just so,
exhausted.
I was so exhausted, and it was kind of like a sigh of relief that like, oh God, it's over. It's finally over. Like, I won. I can stop stressing if I'm going to win or not. And so because of that, it was almost unenjoyable. And it just, I mean, it really took a lot out of me. And I'm not saying it would do that for everyone, but my particular personality and who I am, being in a situation like that, that's, it's wrapped around a contest, I'm like my own worst enemy. And it just, I can't not think of every possibility and just drive myself nuts.
How do you like shooting on the Blackmagic cinema camera?
I love it. I actually love it so much that I sold it and got the 4K. I love it so much. And you know, there's people out there, and I'm not a cinematographer, but I've learned how to shoot. I can make things look clean. And, I know it's not the most professional and it doesn't have a lot of settings that a lot of camera people complain about, but the image quality that you get for the money is just absolutely ridiculous. It's so sharp. It's so clean. And you almost don't even have to, I personally love the look of it. It's so organic and natural. I feel like the camera was specifically made for my style of shooting, because my style of shooting is like, I like to suspend disbelief. I like to make things as realistic as possible. And I think that's another reason why the spot did so well, because I didn't overproduce it. And I didn't, you know, bring in a bunch of lights and reflectors and make it a super professional spot. I made it clean, but I made it look like it could actually be happening. Mm-hmm. So, and the camera really helps me do that. And I mean, I hardly had to color correct the thing. I ran it through DaVinci Resolve a little bit, just to kind of crush the blacks and pop the color a little bit. But what you see is pretty much how it came out of the camera.
And so. At some point, you have to wake up one day and realize, holy crap, I just won $1 million.
No, I don't, because Uncle Sam took a fat chunk.
Yeah.
And I did something that I think a lot of other winners haven't done. I decided to pay everyone that was involved. So everyone got a very, very healthy chunk. And not saying that I'm poor and in the poorhouse or anything like that, but I did share with everyone that was involved, and kind of took care of everyone, and you know, set up my son so he's taken care of. He's pretty much got his college taken care of, and the rest is, you know, just kind of for my savings to make sure I can keep doing what I want to do in life.
Okay, and so, but the other half of that equation was, you not only won the $1 million cash prize and did all of that, but then you got a job working on Avengers Age of Ultron for director Joss Whedon.
Correct.
And what did you do?
I got there and I met a lot of interesting people. Got to take a selfie with Robert Downey Jr. Got to meet pretty much everyone. I mainly talked with Mark Ruffalo and Robert Downey Jr., two awesome guys. And I shot some behind the scenes footage for the extras on the DVD. And that's kind of it. I hung around on set. I got to be on set for about 2.5 weeks and just kind of made friends with the crew and made some contacts for future endeavors, and did a lot of sightseeing out there. I had a few days off, went and saw Stonehenge and St. Joe's Cathedral, I think is what it was, or St. Paul's. I mix up things. Took a lot of photos and just kind of enjoyed being out of the country by myself.
So looking back on the whole experience, what were some of the lessons that you learned from being that this isn't the first Doritos contest you've done? We've talked about the elements that you used that you thought would make for a successful campaign, but what mistakes can people who are looking to do this year's contest, what can they avoid? What are some of the pitfalls that they can avoid?
They can avoid using animals just for the sake of using animals. It needs to be pertinent to the story. It needs, everything needs to accelerate the story. If you just have random things in there because you think it's what they want, it won't matter. You can't just stick a cute kid in there unless it actually accelerates the story and has a point.
But here's the question. Can you win without a cute kid?
Oh, absolutely. I haven't done it yet. I'm still debating on whether I want to do one this year, but I kind of want to do one just to prove a point that you don't need the key ingredients per se of a cute kid and a dog. I kind of want to make something that isn't that and show that the formula is flexible, but you still got to hit the right things. And also, I don't know what it is. Everyone thinks that they're going to come up with the perfect zombie spot they've never picked before, and they will never in a million years pick a zombie spot. They will never in a million years pick another sex appeal spot. People think if they get a girl with boobs and a butt, that they're going to win because it's funny. Doritos doesn't do that anymore. They're more family friendly. And if they're going to do something racy, they're going to do it on their own dime, and they're not going to do it with a user generated contest. So anyone that's using a busty girl or like a bombshell kind of girl storyline, they're wasting their time.
Well, especially they also don't want to choose an overly sexy contest winner over a kid spot or that type
of thing.
That would just cause a lot of trouble.
And that's the thing. You've got to realize that when you do these commercials, someone like Doritos, they don't just randomly pick a spot and then decide to go, you know, national with it. They have, you know, a panel of judges. They have people that they have signed contracts, and they test these things and they see what's more likable. They do the general general consensus of a spot, and they take the most popular one, the one that's gonna rate the best, so that way they can take their marker on the USA Today ad meter, because the ad meter means the world to those types of companies. So they don't just blindly throw in and cross their fingers. They test it first, make sure it tests well on a smaller level, because then it'll most likely test well on a bigger level. And I think my commercial ranked not on the USA Today ad meter, because that's all voting, that's all popular vote by just people. But as far as people who judge commercials after the Super Bowl, numerous companies or, you know, organizations, whatever, rated our spot as the second best commercial of the Super Bowl. The first one being the Budweiser Clydesdale and puppy one. So that one got first place, overall. And then, but we did better with male and female. That we did, I think, like a mix of, or we entertained the male and female audience equally, and the Budweiser one appealed to females more than males. So it did a pretty good job.
So now you mentioned that you were thinking about doing it again. You can do it again?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's a few actually who have gotten to the top five like 3 or 4 years in a row.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're not necessarily discriminated against or locked out because you were a previous winner.
Right. I think I can get top five. I don't know exactly how all the politics work. I have a hard time believing that they'll let me win the million again, but I also don't see why they wouldn't let it win if it was truly the best commercial.
So other than doing the Doritos contest, what's on the horizon for Ryan Thomas Anderson?
currently, a few months ago, I signed a contract with Intel, so I'm doing some spots for them for online. I'm working with some local companies for their online content as well. And then I am actually in the process of raising a few more bucks to shoot my first feature film in the beginning of next year.
Just to round up, it helps to have a kid, but you don't really have to. You don't want to put a dog in unless it really drives the story forward.
Right.
You want it to be believable. And do you have to have a professional crew to shoot it?
You know what? You don't. I didn't have a professional crew. Like I did have a sound guy. But did he do anything above and beyond what you could do with somebody just holding a boom and, you know, a field recorder? No, and that's not to discredit him. It was a commercial, and sound is sound. He got clean sound. And then I had a PA on set that held like a bounce reflector for a couple shots, and that's it. I shot it. I used the tripod. I had a little dolly shot. And basically my mom took care of crap services. So it really, and this is my advice for even just filmmaking in general. People just want a good story, and story is king, and story will always win. And you know, there's a few people who were kind of upset saying, you know, mine didn't look that great or it wasn't as professional looking as the other ones. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you shoot it on or how it looks, as long as the story is solid and it sounds good.
Sometimes having it too professional can backfire on you.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. It can look too overproduced. I feel like if I overproduced Time Machine, it wouldn't have been as likable and sincere and genuine feeling. It would have felt produced. And I wanted a feeling of it to not feel produced, like I said, so I could really bring you into that world and have you think, oh my God, this really happened.
It's about 3 weeks to go in the competition. What do you say to the people out there that think they might have an idea and want to do it?
I will say this. If you're doing it just to do it for practice, that's one thing. That's awesome. If you're going into it to try and win, if you don't truly think to yourself, wow, this is something special. And I don't know, maybe everyone thinks that about everything they do. I'm not a religious man, but like I just got this crazy overwhelming feeling when I came up with the idea. Even as I was shooting it, it just felt right. It felt like America was going to love it. Don't do it half-assed. If you're going to do it, go all out and do it right. Don't say, well, this is good enough, because it's not good enough. But that's me personally. And I'm a professional with everything that I do. And I try and do the best that I can with everything that I do. But don't just come up with a simple, silly idea and then go do it. Really, really spend your time on it. Treat it as if it's a small little short film and make it a strong story that has a payoff at the end. If it's just, that's the other thing. You have to have a strong ending. It needs to tie everything together and make sense. If it's just kind of a casual double punch at the end where it doesn't really relate to the story, it's not going to be as effective. You need people to feel and understand along with you. But definitely go for it. Just don't do it half-assed, I guess.
Some wise words from Ryan Thomas Anderson, the 2014 winner of the Doritos Crash the Super Bowl Sweepstakes. Ryan, thank you for joining us on Dottle Talks Technology.
Absolutely, thank you.
You've been listening to Dottle Talks Technology. For more information, visit our website at www.news.dottleme.com. Got a question or comment? You can drop me a line at james@dottleme.com. You can like us on Facebook and also subscribe and leave us feedback on iTunes. Dottle Talks Technology is a copyrighted podcast from Dottle News. Thanks for listening.